Hey, it's good to have you back this morning. Brad Graber is our financial planner, and you can find out more about what he does and what he has to offer on his website free of charge to help you out, by the way. It's investinginTruth.com. But, Brad, we were chatting by email late last week, and I decided to talk about the five worst mistakes of online borrowing. And I don't really, I was just sitting here thinking about this morning. The first time I ever had to borrow money, I went to the bank and they explained all the terms very well to me, and then I, you know, entered into that agreement and took care of the debt. But what are some of the issues with online borrowing? Well, who would have thought you could get on your computer and borrow money ever?
Yeah, and hasn't the playing field really changed? It used to be relationships. You would go in, you might have even known the person sitting across the desk from you when you needed to borrow money. And now we may be dealing all the way across the country. Could even be peer-to-peer programs are becoming fairly popular where people are wanting to make more interest than they can earn at the bank. So they're entering into these relationships where there's an institution in the middle and they give money to it, and then that institution loans money out and spreads it across a lot of different people, and there's no relationship whatsoever there. So
yeah,
while convenience and hopefully competition has made the marketplace a little cheaper for us, at the same time, it brings a lot of unknowns, a lot of potential dangers. And, you know, as the borrower, we've become basically a number and a rating to the people on the other side.
Well, what are some of the things that folks need to be watching out for? Because, you know, there are inaccuracies in credit reports. There are things that we all just fall into that we don't know any better. So what are some of the things that if we are looking for these types of loans, what do we need to be looking out for?
Yeah, and I'll start by saying that a lot of the things that we can talk about here are wisdom issues, and they're going to apply to a lot more than just online borrowing as well. So just because you may not be looking to borrow online, don't ignore some of the wisdom aspects here. So the first thing you said, there could be inaccuracies on a credit report. We've talked about this before. We should always be looking and monitoring our credit reports at least once a year. You can go on annualcreditreport.com and pull your credit from each of the three rating bureaus, so you have the ability to actually pull it three times during the year if you need to. But we need to make sure that everything on there is accurate so that we're not getting somebody else's debt applied to ours, that we're protecting ourselves from identity theft because somebody could have our information and be taking out new debt that we're not even aware of. But it would show up on our credit report. And as I mentioned earlier, if you are doing the online borrowing, you are just a number and a statistic to the people on the other side of it. So if your credit report is inaccurate, then they are getting an inaccurate picture of your credit worthiness. So you might actually be somebody that is a great credit risk and should be able to get low interest rates on any debt that you would have to take out. And the other side doesn't know you, though, and all they see is the statistics that come across, and your credit report is showing that your situation isn't actually as good as what it truly is. And that's all they have to go off of. So any inaccuracies could certainly hurt you as far as the terms and the ability to be able to borrow money.
Well, Brad, talk a little bit, too, about shopping around for best deals, because I think a great temptation of online borrowing has got to be the fact that so many of these places can take a quick look at your credit, decide on what tier they're going to place you, and then, boom, you're approved within 30 minutes. And you get excited and accept the terms, and then you go, oh, man, when those payments start coming due, you realize, I maybe should not have accepted this loan.
Yeah, and that's not an uncommon thing either. It may seem like a quick and easy solution to whatever your pain is at that moment. And here again, it's prudence, it's wisdom of not jumping into something you don't fully understand. And if we're going to go buy a car, we wouldn't go to one car dealership and pay $1,000 or $2,000 more for the same thing that we could go down the road and get the same car for. And so many other things are the same way. We're going to shop those out typically so that we know that we're getting a good deal. Borrowing is no different. You need to look at all the details, and it's not only just the rates or the fees. There's so many things that play into it. It's knowing who your lender is. There's that relationship that we can't forget, that the borrower is servant to the lender. And if we're going to enter into servitude to somebody, it's good to know who they are and that it's somebody we want to enter in that relationship with as well.
Well,
it's so important to shop it out and know what you're getting into.
Well, Brad, you know, one of the things that also we don't take into account is, you know, that little fine print, right? All the fine terms and details behind all of what we're entering into. How easily do people get snared into really bad terms? Because it seems to me like you hear this all the time.
Especially with anything that's out there online. Again, you don't know the reputation necessarily of who you're getting involved with. And it's not just the institution down the street that you may know the people that work there. So it's harder to get to know them. And this is where church community, we talk about fellowship and how we should be in relationship with others. It's best if you can actually get a recommendation to an institution, because so many things, like you said, can be buried in the fine print. They have to disclose it. There's laws, there's rules, but they can hide it in a way that most people aren't going to read these things. You don't typically read that 20-page list of disclosures that somebody throws in front of you when you just want to get through the process. So if you have if you know somebody else that's used a specific lender, then you find out what their practice was like. What was their experience as they went through paying them back over a year or a couple years even? Was it a good experience, or were they a bad lender where they were throwing additional fees on? Did they not allow you to prepay without additional fees there? Because we all want to try to get out of debt as quick as we can. So a prepayment fee could be a big penalty because they don't allow us to pay down our debt quicker. And if we're trying to get out of it, it's kind of trapping us into this timeline that we may not want to be stuck with.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about debt consolidation, Brad, because that is all over the place online. If I pull up any number of the news pages that I look at, like Yahoo News, for example, I might pop that up if I'm on my way to my Yahoo email account to see what kind of junk has flowed in there and cleaned it out. But you get the idea of what I mean. You're constantly seeing these ads for debt consolidation, and they make them look so attractive. What is, do you think, the biggest mistake that we as consumers make when we go for those loans? And does it even make sense to do that? Or should we just continue to pay down credit cards, loans, et cetera, with the original terms? What are your thoughts on that?
It's not as often a great idea as it may seem. And it's because we're in our current debts. We may not like our interest rates. We may not like the payments. There's just a lot of bad feelings about the current debts we may have. And it can be easy to appeal to somebody in that situation and say, hey, I can make it better for you. And it sounds better. The payments may be lower, but there's lots of issues there. So number one, have we dealt with the reason why we have debt to start with? If we consolidate and remove the debt off of our credit cards or all these other places where we have debt, it can free that up to where we can now go out and take on new debt. So now we have a consolidation loan and credit card debt. So we have to make sure that we're taking care of the root problem first. And then the second thing is we got to make sure that we're not just trading off a high payment and a short time frame today for a lower payment and a long time frame tomorrow. And that's what some consolidation loans can do, and even some of these online lending things can do is we're not comparing apples to apples. So I may be debt-free in 10 years if I stay on my current plan, but under the new one I have a lower monthly payment, so it makes me feel better today. But it's going to be 20 years until I'm debt-free. So we got to make sure that we're looking at the terms of the two situations as well. And is it really improving my situation or is it not?
Well, Brad, you know, in this world, sometimes we do have to take this on. But can we just sidestep for 1 second and just say, can I ask you, what's the understanding that we should have of the biblical view of debt? Can you just share a little bit with that?
Yeah, and all debt goes back to that verse I referred to earlier, yeah. the borrower servant to the lender.
Yeah.
So we're entering into a servant relationship anytime we borrow money. Somebody other than Christ is becoming our master from a financial perspective. And there's always dangers of that. We're basically, there's a relationship too between time and money there, because we're borrowing money, which means we're also committing our future. And we're committing our future in a way that are we not seeking what God has for us in the future? Are we not staying flexible for where He calls us to go? Because debt is tying up and binding us in our future as well to this new master that we're servant to. So we have to be so careful anytime we're taking on debt, because it is going to bind us into the future, which we don't know. God knows what the future holds for us. He knows what He has planned for us, but we don't know. So we have to be so careful anytime we take on debt, because we're committing ourselves outside of Christ. And that can always be dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is great, Brad. You know, I'm just standing here thinking as you're talking about, and you and I have talked about this before way back in the past, what a temptation it can be, because this is where I used to struggle. I'm going to compartmentalize things. I'm going to deal with my debt over here because my spirituality is different from my debt. Uh-oh. It is a heart issue. And so things have got to change. So I appreciate that you're always taking us back to that. Man, we are out of time already, but we're going to do this again next week. Give us a plug for the website again and the financial boot camp.
Yeah, website is investingintruth.com. And at the top, you can find a link for financial boot camp, which is a 12-month course that I teach. And I have it all online. All the material is, even the people going through my class are using the online resources to be able to go through the class, and it's just laid out month by month, topic by topic. So if you want to jump in and read more about a specific topic and what Scripture has to say about it, you can. But you can also start at the beginning, and it actually is in logical sense that builds on itself. So if you want to start at the beginning and just take yourself through it at your own pace, you can certainly do that as well.